I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big weekend across Scottish football. Celtic stretch their lead at the top against Hibs before heading to Croatia on Champions League duty. Rangers win again ahead of the visit of Spurs later in the week. And there were big wins for Motherwell and Hearts. I'm Gordon Duncan and joining me tonight, Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
Well, he's back, Gordon. What a weekend for Andy Halliday. Back in the starting lineup as Motherwell win at St Mirren. His old club Hearts off the bottom of the league as they beat Dundee, and his other old club Rangers get ready for Spurs by putting three past Ross County. Let's see if he's this chirpy next Monday.
How did Bradford get on? We checked in on them. Blackpool, anybody else? Did they
Living,
do all right?
No idea. But I tell you what, it's one of these shows that I don't know how we're going to fit in everything we need to talk about.
We'll
need to review the games at the weekend. We've got, please tell me we've got Luca, the Croatian expert from Mogai, that's coming on to talk about the game in Europe tomorrow night.
I know you love it when we get our foreign correspondents. I don't actually know. I don't think we do have one of them up our sleeve tonight.
I think so, because you know, you do know, all the Super Scoreboard budget has gone.
Oh, is that right?
On the new telly behind you.
Ah, yeah, I noticed that. It's a little bit higher than the last one as well, must be said.
Scott Allen smashed the TV on Friday. It is, by the way, the quickest this company's ever fixed anything. And we've gone and got a new TV. It's higher now, so hopefully we won't smash.
Just enough money left in the budget to send Andrew McLean to Zagreb. Not enough to fly him home.
We'll send you guys there at the cup final on Sunday?
Well, I'll be there, yes, shows live from Hampden on Sunday, I believe. I think, unless it's falsely advertised. But before we get to that, big weekend to look back on.
Yeah, absolutely. Some good wins. None other than the Steelmen. We've had a rough couple of weeks, Gordon, so we can look forward to talking about that. Comfortable 3-0 victories, both for the Old Firm. And like we just touched on there, the cup final he'll build up to on Sunday as well.
What a week, Roger Hanna. What a week.
Absolutely. I mean, some big performances, some big results. You know, it's a big result for Celtic at the weekend, because Hibs played well at Celtic Park, but it's, you know, Celtic still get through and win 3-0. Rangers, you can't really argue. After Nice, they had three league games ahead of Spurs, and they've won them. They've scored 10 goals. I haven't conceded any, so the heat temporarily, you would say, off Philippe Clement, and a big win for Hearts as well, ahead of their own European game. And Hearts are still in Europe, you know, they've still got a chance. They go to Copenhagen on Thursday night ahead of Petro Cub at Tynecastle the following week. Wouldn't it be fabulous if we could have three teams in the knockout stages in Europe into the new year, Gordon?
Right, come on, 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need, so give us a call right now. If we're starting yesterday and working our way back, Rangers fans, you're going to have to get used to this winning malarkey. You've been mourning on the phones all season long, but it's a win again, a comfortable one in Dingwall. So what did you make of it? What were the standout talking points? Who were the players that grabbed your attention? If there were any that grabbed your attention for the wrong ways, then feel free to share those thoughts as well. But granted, it was more of a positive performance. Philippe Clement, looking ahead to a big week, Spurs first, then Celtic. So sum up your feelings ahead of this week, Rangers fans. Let's do it all. There's a lot to get through there with team selection and who has to perhaps be left in cold storage for Sunday rather than Thursday, or do you take the one game at a time cliche, whatever you're thinking. Sum up your feelings ahead of this week, Rangers fans. What does this week mean? Celtic fans, Brendan Rodgers says the defending was all over the place at the weekend. Is that something you would agree with? And how does it set you up for a trip to Zagreb tomorrow? Who plays in that one? Because this will be your last chance. It's an early kickoff, isn't it? So last chance to pick your team. Sometimes away in Europe, it's Ida rather than Kyogo. But then we saw Kyogo's goal at the weekend. So which one of them are you starting? We're back to that age-old debate about Ingles and Bernardo and McCowan. Who plays in the midfield? And what about left back as well? Because every time Vaille starts, Taylor comes on and makes an impact. Or if Taylor starts, Vaille comes on and makes an impact. So give us a call, let us know all your thoughts, and a big weekend to look back on. So let's do the lot of it on 0141 951 1025. Your result of the weekend, please.
I'm going to go for Hearts. They were bottom of the Premiership going into the weekend. They desperately needed a result, and they got one. And perhaps even more importantly than that, Lauren Shankland found the net again.
I'm going to go Motherwell then. No surprise.
Absolutely.
Three defeats on the trot. Difficult period for the club going into the game against St Mirren, a team that's, you know, had a real upturn in form over the last few weeks. And again, terrible game. We're certainly not going to put the game as a good spectacle for Scottish football. But most importantly, we get the win the last minute, and great for Tony Watt for get his first goal back in his second spell.
Okay, goal of the weekend.
I'm going to go for James Tavernier. Two goals in a week, and it was just a terrific first time finish, low into the Ross County net, and it clinched a third win in a week for Rangers.
Oh, easy for me this weekend. It's got to be Kyogo.
I thought
yeah.
one of you would.
Yeah, it's had a bit of everything. Had a bit of that team goal that I like. I thought was a fantastic reverse pass by James Forrest, but that, you know, intuition to open his body to take that first touch was incredible, and then the finish just to lift it over the goalkeeper as well was equally impressive.
You don't see many like that, do you? I think that's always, you know, the
instinct the way he sort of adjusts his body to take that first touch, but again the composure to then just lift up to the goalkeeper as well.
Okay, forget that, let's bring it down, let's go negative. Who was the howler of the weekend? What was the howler of the weekend?
Oh, there were a few contenders, but I have to go for, I think, for James McGarry of Aberdeen. Sliced clearance off his own face straight to Mackenzie Kirkus and Johnson, 1-0 to the
Yeah,
Saints.
I think clearing it off your own face is frowned upon, isn't it, in defensive circles. Andy?
Oh, I feel bad, but I'm going to go for Jack Hamilton. Not played a lot of football recently. Came in the second half at Celtic Park and done reasonably well. Gets his opportunity up in Dingwall yesterday. But even watching it back, I don't even know what he's thinking. It's not even as if he takes a bad touch. He just thinks he's got a lot more time in the ball than he actually does. But fair play to Danilo. He was proactive. He was on the move. He forced a mistake and then got his finish. But yeah, it was a poor mistake by Jack Hamilton.
The Rangers not, or Ross County should say, not of history of doing that. Yeah. In that goal.
Was it Bain? No, Fox.
It was Scott Fox.
And Morelos nipped it off him. It was a bad one. I think I'll agree that with you on that. Okay, finish on a high then. Your top man, your top performer of the weekend.
Talking of goalies, Kasper Schmeichel. He's not always had an awful lot to do in his Celtic career so far, but he was tested by Hibs time and again, particularly Mykola Kuarevich at the weekend. And he stood up to everything and showed exactly why Brendan Rodgers brought him in.
Well, this guy got this award on a Monday night a lot last year. And I'm sure that, never mind the lack of goals, I'm sure he was just hoping to get this award again on a Monday night because it's so prestigious. But Lauren Shanklin, back in amongst the goals, two goals. His performances have been there. But first goal in 12, you knew it was going to be massive for him to get that so-called monkey off his back and get that ball hit in the back of the net again. And I must say, it's obviously huge for Hearts that he's back in and amongst the goals. And I must say, would it surprise you if he finishes the season as top goal scorer?
Well, he's only a couple off. That's the madness of the way the goals have been spread this season, so you never know. Anyway, that's us, 01419511025. I hope your appetite is suitably whetted after that awards ceremony from Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday. So what are you thinking, Rangers fans? What did you make of the game in Dingwall yesterday? How does it set you up for the big week? What does this week look like in terms of priorities and players and hopes and confidence levels and all that stuff? Give us a call. Celtic fans, this is your last chance before kickoff. So it's an early kickoff tomorrow. Your last chance to pick your team. Kuhn will obviously play. Don't know why he popped into my head. Ida or Kyogo was the one I was thinking. Vaye or Taylor. Bernardo, Engels, Hitati, McCowan. Give us all your thoughts, please. 01419511025. Motherwell fans, you've been grumbling in recent weeks. Why not come and celebrate with Andy Halliday on here? And anything else that's out there, pick up that phone. Barry is a Rangers fan. How are you feeling ahead of a big week, Barry?
Not scoffed out. Tottenham, maybe, but not so much. It's Celtic on the Sunday. Is it just a matter of turning up and getting beat?
Well, is that the way you feel?
Yes, yes.
Even though the results have picked up?
Yes.
I tell you what, it must be a big, because usually Monday night, well, we deal with the weekend first, and then you get to Thursday and you certainly get to Sunday. This week's different, Roger. It is full steam ahead for Rangers. What a few days it could be in a number of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing. It's like a battle of Britain. It always whets the appetite. Europa League, particularly this week, Ange Postecoglou coming back to Glasgow on Thursday night. Or as you know, in England, under pressure, Ange Postecoglou. Watched the Chelsea game yesterday, 2-0 up to 4-3 defeat. Off the back of that defeat at Bournemouth, off the back of a home defeat to Ipswich, he is under big pressure. We wondered when the draw was made, and you saw the start of Tottenham's Europa League journey. He was putting a lot of kids into the team. There was a lot of rotation in the team. I'm not sure Ange Postecoglou can afford to rotate too many players coming to Ibrox, because he is one defeat away from major problems himself. And what does Philip Clement do? You know, obviously Danilo and Hadji can't play on Thursday. They're not in the European squad. They'll get a rest ahead of the cup final. But does he feel he's got the personnel that he can rotate another half dozen out and keep them fresh? Because you've mentioned a couple of times, Gordon, Celtic 5:45 on a Tuesday, Rangers 8 p.m. on a Thursday. Celtic have more than 48 hours, more than Rangers, to prepare for this final. Clement must be thinking at some stage about leaving people out.
Should Rangers be getting excited at the thought of Spurs struggling, Andy, and the prospect of piling more pressure, or even worse, on Ange Postecoglou?
I think they can. I think that excitement level's certainly risen when you've seen Christian Romero come off injured and then Mickey van de Ven come off injured, because they do have a lot of injury issues in that area of the pitch. But again, it's a top quality side with a lot of top quality players. Rangers' record against Ange Postecoglou when he was Celtic manager wasn't too great either. But to be honest, looking at the game Thursday, there's no result that I think will surprise me. I think Rangers have surprised us so many times in Europe with some results they do get. Nobody expected the four goals that they managed to get away to Nice only a couple of weeks ago. But going into this game Thursday, they are playing against a top side. But I think any Rangers fan out there will sacrifice Thursday for a cup final win on Sunday.
Would the Rangers have one win in four at Ibrox?
Two, no.
I thought it was one.
I'll let you two anorak.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it was the Hollander game.
Aaron Ramsey won Celtic 2-1.
Yeah.
And 2-0.
It was a 2-2, was it?
2-2.
Listen, you two can discuss this at the next break. Don't worry. So, Barry, yesterday's win makes it 3 in a week. That, is that not cheered you up any?
Yes, it's cheered me up. It's just, I just think, European is a different standard. Mm. We've got a European manager. I think we do better in Europe. But Celtic on Sunday, I think, you know, different kettle of fish. They're just on an absolute roll now, and I think we're just going to get rolled over.
Mm. I don't think there's any doubt. Kilmarnock, Ross County, you know, these, you would expect Tottenham and Celtic to be of a higher level of challenge. I don't think there's any doubt. However, Rangers clearly go into this in a much better place than they could have, Andy, or perhaps people expected them to, maybe a couple of weeks ago. What did you make of yesterday? Where are Rangers now?
Yeah, well, post Dundee United, you'd have gave them no chance. Yeah, just know the results, the performance levels, the confidence levels. I don't think the most optimistic Rangers fan out there would have fancied them. But listen, it's only been four games, but you know, 14 goals looked a lot more promising. Definitely been changes there made by Philippe Clement. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. You know, we speak about it so many times on this show. When it comes to these big games, you feel as if you could just pick Celtic's 11. You know, when the big games come, Celtic go to these players that they trust in this fixture. You know, 10 of the 11 are pretty much nailed. And again, there's always these debates of, you know, who's going to play in what position. I do feel as if slowly but surely Philippe Clement is starting to find his best 11. I think the emergence of Hamza Egerman back in the Rangers side, I think he's looked a real threat. He's looked very, very promising in his performances. Obviously, Yanis Hadji coming back from absolutely nowhere has been a real positive as well. But I just look at that style and the way Rangers are playing now, that 4-4-2, still sort of rotating into a 4-2-3-1. But to me, that looks as if there's been a lot more emphasis in getting bodies in the box when the ball's out wide and rotating in positions. And you see that in the Kilmarnock game. The way they sort of ring-fence Kilmarnock's box and find it very, very difficult for Kilmarnock to get back on the counter-attack, and had a lot more control in games, which is something that we spoke about so much for Philippe Clement's side.
And Tavernier back in the team?
I don't know if that will remain on Sunday, which is going to be a very interesting one, I think.
And Balogun back in the team for three clean sheets ahead of Robin Proper. I'll be fascinated to see the team on Thursday. I'll be fascinated to see the team on Sunday. I would have Tavernier in. I would have Balogun in. I would have both Danilo and Igamani in. And I might put one out there. I'd have Diamandé in ahead of Conor Barn.
Would you play James Tavernier on Sunday?
In the cup final?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would you not? Is that why you're asking?
Yeah, I think I'm his biggest defender. I think I'd play Dejan Sterling on Sunday. I really do.
Can I just check? Was Jack Hamilton the goalie, a former teammate of yours?
No.
No? At no stage now? Because you've thrown him under the bus. Tavernier was your mate. You've thrown him under the bus. What do you say about Gordon Duncan?
I never said I'd play James Tavernier, period. I just don't know if I'd play him right back or into Sunday. But listen, I think Thursday's going to be a big tell whether he plays or not.
I tell you, it must be a big week for Rangers fans. If these two are picking teams for Thursday and Sunday and it's only Monday night, you can keep looking back, you can look forward. Let's hear a bit from Philippe Clement, because I switched on social media, as I often do, last night, and saw loads of debate amongst you Rangers fans about this. Speaking on Sky Sports, Philippe Clement said the next two games, Tottenham and Celtic, are against teams financially out of their league, but is keen to see how his improving side fare.
Of course, it's a totally different kind of games. Maybe we need to stay financially out of our league, the two games, but we're going to compete in that way, and it's a really nice challenge for our squads to show themselves in these games and what we can do against those teams.
What did you make of it then? Because I have seen all sorts on this. I've seen loads of Rangers fans who shrug their shoulders and say, that's true, we don't have as much money as them, who cares? I have also seen countless who've got a real issue with that type of messaging. What's your take on it?
If he had just said Tottenham are financially out of our league, then nobody would have a problem, because you've heard both Philippe Clement and Brendan Rodgers say that about countless European opponents in previous years. And that then throws up the argument from the likes of yourself, Gordon, as a Motherwell fan, or Kelly fans, or St Mirren fans, who will say, well, it's all very well for them to say that, but you know, they don't say that when they're playing us in the league and they're way ahead of us in the league.
They've just finished a game against Ross County, of course.
And St Johnson before that, and Kelly in the middle of the week. So we've heard all this before. It's very unusual for a Rangers manager to say that about Celtic. It was also very unusual for a Rangers manager, although he didn't name him, to cite Nicholas Coon last week when he said, listen, this guy came in for 6 months, wasn't very good, now he's the best player in the league, so give my players a little bit of time. I don't have any truck with it at all, doesn't bother me in the slightest. What he said about Coon is 100% correct. What he said about the financial gulf is 100% correct. But sometimes I think Rangers fans don't like their manager coming out with that messaging.
I don't go along with it. I don't like it. I think especially when 5 days previous at the AGM, you're talking about building this winning mentality and that you're expected to win trophies and win every single week. Then when you listen to the post-match against Ross County, you're talking about financial gulf. One thing I've learned in football is you give footballers any excuse, believe me, they'll take it. So I think you've already planted that little seed of doubt. Ah, you're coming up against a team on Thursday and Sunday. They've got a lot more money than us. So again, it wasn't a comment I particularly liked.
Is the bit that's sticking in some throats the fact that even if you're, you know, if you're being accurate and saying Celtic have more money, we're not talking like different stratosphere, are we? We're not talking like, you know, English Premier League versus Rangers, or we're not talking Rangers versus Ross County or Celtic versus St Mirren. We're talking a team that's, you know, financially in better health, but not.
Well, the different stratospheres you're talking about is against Hearts, who you draw 0-0 with, and then against Aberdeen, who you lose 1-0 with, and
so that
Ross County
in
the weekend, who you've just played. So I think,
who...
again, it's managers will sometimes come out with this when it suits them, but like he says, when it comes up against Celtic at the weekend, I don't think they're not worlds apart.
I think at the minute they are worlds apart, to be perfectly honest with you, because if Celtic in the last accounts not with something like 77 million in the bank, Rangers didn't.
Yeah, but wage bills, etc., are pretty similar. I mean, you know, it's not like obviously, when our team's getting to Europe, it's not Rangers
you know
v Real Madrid.
The gap in the wage bills is probably widening with each season. Celtic, the other day, had two players that they signed in the summer. Ernie Ingles for £11 million and Ida for £9.5 million, sitting on the bench. 20-odd million pounds. Rangers were bringing their wage bill down in the summer, hence the departure of the likes of Conor.
They're not bringing it down from a position that was higher than Celtics.
Yeah, but
so that's not different stratosphere, is it?
I think it's getting wider and wider. I think Philippe Clement was right in what he said, and Rangers fans don't like to hear it, but he's right. You know, when Celtic go shopping in any transfer window, they're looking at a different level of player from Rangers now.
Okay, what do you think? 0141 951 1025. We're going to go to Zagreb and build up to the Celtic game as well. So Celtic fans, pick your team. It will be your last chance to do so. Early kickoff tomorrow. Call now, we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. They're looking back on a busy weekend and previewing a heck of a week coming up in Europe and domestically. So do join in. 0141 951 1025. Just before the break, Andy Halliday said he didn't particularly like Philippe Clement bringing up budgets yesterday. Roger Hanna said he's not too bothered, he doesn't care. So which of those camps are you in? Give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, it's an early kickoff tomorrow, which means this is really the last chance to have a proper preview of that game. So with that in mind, let's cross live to Zagreb and speak to Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard European Group Stages with UK Debt Expert, the top team helping you tackle your debt. Verify at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. May not be suitable for all. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Press conference all finished. Andrew McLean, what's the latest?
Yeah, just finished up speaking to Brendan Rodgers here at the Maximir Stadium in Zagreb. And some interesting things from Brendan Rodgers, talking about the evolution of this Celtic team in Europe and talking about what the next step is. And we all know that if Celtic get that victory tomorrow, it will guarantee the fact that they will be in the playoff round. I know it is a bit complicated just with points totals, and obviously we won't know for certain until the very end once we see the league table, but 11 points should guarantee Celtic really a place in that playoff round. He's not really focusing on that at the moment. He still wants to talk about other things, and he says the next step for this team is to win away from home in the Champions League. We know that that's, you know, very rare for Celtic, has been in the last few years, away wins in the Champions League. The last one, September 2017, Brendan Rodgers in his first spell in charge, that was away to Anderlecht, a 3-0 win. And he says, you know, this team are ready. He said specifically he doesn't think there's any doubt that they are capable of getting that away win, and he feels they are capable of getting that big performance tomorrow. If they manage to get it, they manage to get that win, so much will come along with it. But he's determined to go out and try and see his players get that huge victory that they need tomorrow and end that several year spell without getting an away win in the Champions League.
I think everyone's fit and available, aren't they? They all trained certainly this morning. Did that translate to everyone getting on the plane?
Yeah, everyone's travelled, so Celtic have a fully fit squad, but it doesn't mean you know who's going to play though. So many changes they've made, 5 and 6 over the last few games. I'm sure there'll be plenty of debating points for fans to talk about who should start, who shouldn't start, because that seems to be the big topic surrounding Celtic at the moment. You know, that midfield could look like anything tomorrow night. Is it going to be Carter Vickers and Austin Trusty that start in the centre of defence? Left back is a big talking point. You'd think you would know who the front three are going to be, but will it be Kyogo? Could Adamida come in? Certainly Brendan Rodgers has plenty of options to choose from.
Andy Halliday's heart breaks when he finds out we're not getting a foreign correspondent on, so you'll have to do it. What sort of shape are Dinamo Zagreb in? What level of opponent are Celtic looking at?
Yeah, we talked to Brendan Rodgers about this as well. I spoke to the Dinamo manager earlier on, and Marco Piazza, one of their strikers. Dinamo, from the outside looking in, certainly don't look to be in a great spot at all. In their last 5 games, they've not won any of them, which, you know, is surprising. They should be one of the dominant teams in Croatia, but they haven't won in any of their last 4 domestic games, and then winless in their last Champions League match as well. They only have 4 fit defenders, was what their manager was saying today. So they have their injury issues, but Brendan Rodgers was asked about Dinamo, whether they are a team in crisis, and he says, you know, he doesn't buy into any narrative when he's coming up against teams and people talk about them being in crisis. He said, you know, teams in crisis mode can be dangerous. He's not going to fall into that trap. But one interesting thing is their form in the Champions League is actually very different. 7 points, they've got only one less than Celtic. So they've had a couple of big wins, and a win for them tomorrow night would be absolutely huge. So they're not in a fantastic place, but you never know. Certainly their Champions League record has looked pretty good. And Marco Piazza, who we were talking to, we were actually reflecting back almost exactly 10 years ago to the day. I think it was the 11th of December 2014. He scored a hat-trick for Dinamo against Celtic in a 4-3 win. He was asked about that. He was saying it's the only hat-trick he's ever scored in his career. He says he's not sure he'll be capable of scoring a hat-trick tomorrow night, but he says he'd love to get himself on the score sheet and get Dinamo that big win.
I'll bet he would. We're about to hear from Brendan Rodgers, but he wasn't overly enamoured with the performance at the weekend, Andrew. Was that referenced? Is it just, I suppose, maybe a sign of how high the bar's been set that you can find areas of criticism in a 3-0 win?
Yeah, I know it seems crazy to pick holes in a 3-0 win at home for Celtic, but you know, I covered that game for Super Scoreboard. Celtic did give up a lot of chances to Hibs, and he spoke about it in his post-match at the weekend, touched on it briefly today, just saying that they know they'll need to be, you know, at a better level. They left too many spaces in behind that Hibs managed to exploit up to a certain point. Of course, didn't actually manage to get on the score sheet, but teams in the Champions League, no matter what opposition you come up against, if you give them those types of opportunities, the difference in the Champions League is teams will punish you, whether it is the top teams, whether it is teams like Dinamo. They've shown that they are capable of getting wins at this level. So yeah, he knows they need to be wary of that, but I think you'd expect that Celtic defensively will look a bit different. Cameron Carter-Vickers, you'd imagine, will come back in for that game tomorrow as well.
Yeah, let's hear those comments from Brendan Rodgers. Why not give us a call, Celtic fans? I keep saying it, but it is worth remembering. I'm terrible at remembering the early kickoffs, which means it is your last chance to preview the game. By the time we come on tomorrow, we'll be underway. So who should play at the back, midfield, up front? Get all your decisions in. And how confident or otherwise are you? This is what the Celtic manager made of the performance at the weekend.
Yeah, I think both goalkeepers were good, to be fair. I think the keeper made some really good saves as well. But yeah, a strange sort of game. Obviously delighted with the win. Third game this week, so on the back end of a game of midweek, a tough game away from home. So to come here and get the victory and keep a clean sheet, great. Some of our attacking play was very good, scored good goals, created more chances. Defensively, for our standard, nowhere near it. Not to the level that I would expect and want, but sometimes that's part of when you do make the changes, and so that's on me. But that defensive side, which is our start point, our pressing, counter pressing, wasn't so good in the first half. Second half it was much better. So we controlled the game second half to a better level. Our third goal comes from a counter press from James, where he blindsides press, and that's more like how we've been, and that's why it's a pleasing in the end. But always things to improve in our performance.
Charlie's a Celtic fan. How are you feeling ahead of tomorrow, Charlie?
Hi, God. How you doing? I need to be honest, I'm apprehensive tomorrow. I was at a game on Saturday there, and if Celtic playing like they played on Saturday, Zagreb will wait to flare them. It was the defence was that bad. It was. I know it's been kind of defensively. It was maybe a one-off a season in the league. We've not been as bad as that, but we've not been putting together full performances for me in the league, 90 minute performances. It's always been like half a game here and half a game there. They've turned it on. I worry about our defence the more tonight. I hope it starts with Taylor, and Big Vickers is back. I want Taylor back in the park as well.
Is it as simple, Charlie? Some people would say that issue that you've identified is just fixed if Carter Vickers plays. Is that, can you put it down to that?
Defence is the last line, remember, or the keeper. Schmeichel was the last line, and by the way, outstanding, absolutely outstanding. It's coming maybe before it gets to the defence, the midfield. Hatate wasn't playing Saturday there, so there's no excuses. He's been poor for weeks and all, but I don't know what happened in the middle of the park, but they just seem to come through. It's far too easy. Hibs. Bought in the Scottish League, cut through is like a knife through butter at times, a number of times. And so we're coming up against a Champions League team, and I'm not having any of that we're a wounded animal thing and they don't look good from the outside. It's a Champions League team, and they'll not be as wasteful in front of goal as what Hibs were.
Celtic away from home in the Champions League have really been an enigma for years. You know, it's incredible to think it's 7 years since they won that game in Anderlecht, Gordon. I don't think any of those who started that night are still at the club. I know Callum McGregor and James Forrest came off the bench, but you know, there's nobody started So a lot of the players who will go into Zagreb to play the game tomorrow night, they don't know about winning a Champions League away game. They suffered that horrible, painful defeat in Dortmund, and then they looked a transformed team in Bergamo, 0-0 against Atalanta. So I know exactly what you mean, Charlie, but you know, don't buy into this wounded animal thing about Zagreb. You shouldn't buy into it, and the Celtic players shouldn't buy into it, but it will be a difficult game. I think Celtic have it within them to go and win the game, but they might need to produce a performance on a level with Atalanta away to get that win. Regardless of what's happening, Celtic will go through because they'll get enough points against Young Boys at home in a couple of weeks' time, after New Year, I should say, to get through. Celtic will qualify regardless what happens tomorrow night, but it would represent another step up the ladder for Celtic if they could get that away win. I think they can get it, but I agree with you, they need to step up the performance from Saturday.
Andy, is it as simple as Cameron Carter-Vickers comes back and makes that amount of difference, or is Charlie quite right to point out that that's just one part of it? Because if, you know, defend from the front, all these types of things, he can't fix all that on his own, or can he?
No, he can't, but you say a part of it is a huge part of it. Cameron Carter-Vickers has been rested twice in the last few weeks, and in both games Kasper Schmeichel's had man of the match. So away to Kilmarnock and again at the weekend against Hibs there, you know, it quite rightly Roger gave Kasper Schmeichel his performance at the weekend at the start of the show, and you know, for all the clean sheets and the defensive record Celtic have had this year, he's been a passenger in a lot of the games, such as Celtic's dominance, but he had to make 9 saves at the weekend. If Cameron Carter-Vickers is playing in that game, I don't think Kasper Schmeichel makes 9 saves. But you're quite right in saying, you know, Brendan Rodgers touched on the pressing and the counter-pressing. The reason Celtic play a high line is to try and win the ball back in their final third. For me, Kyogo's a massive part of that. So when he plays, I don't think they get the same output in terms of their pressure to win the ball back, their counter-pressing when they do lose the ball. And again, of course, the industrious athleticism, a hatati in the middle of the pitch is a part of it as well.
Just don't let Carter Vickers pass the ball back to Schmeichel.
big carpet slippers.
Surely that's a one-off. Surely we can't see anything as ridiculous.
I'm only kidding.
Is that Charlie? So did you suggest no hatati for you tomorrow? What was your choice in there?
I'm against I because although he scored there the other day, there it was Greg Taylor that made the goal from. His finish was great and all that, but Hatate's been really, really poor for me. I hate to say it because I think he's a cracking footballer, but his passing, I'm talking about when Celtic have got a ball, they're getting a ball away too much. You know, it's like you watch Celtic away in Europe and too many times you've seen them like nervous and they're getting a ball away and you're wondering what happened to Celtic. This is not a team I'm used to seeing. And then we got a game the other week, like a Leipzig game, and they turn it on. The Atalanta game, they started to turn it around from the Atalanta game. I think they settled a wee bit because they had a doing in the Dortmund game before it. But the hangover kind of left during that Atalanta game, and then the Leipzig game was brilliant. But then it's back to square one again. They look nervous and getting the ball away. Too many mistakes. I would have let McCown in front of Bernardo.
That would be a big one.
Sorry, Bernardo, Roger,
him starting a Champions League game.
We were talking earlier on the show, Charlie, about Rangers playing Thursday, Sunday, and what does Clement do with the Rangers team? Can he afford to sort of rotate a lot of the guys out of the team who will start the cup final on Sunday? Will Brendan Rodgers have half an eye to the cup final, or is there enough of a gap between Tuesday evening and Sunday afternoon for all the big hitters to play both?
I looked at this, Roger. Celtic have got 5 days. Although they've got to travel, they've got 5 days. And I thought it was strange that Rangers were actually playing on a Thursday. They've got like a Friday and a Saturday to recover, and then they're back on a Sunday. Celtic have got 5 days. If a professional footballer can't recover in that time, travel, regardless of travel, then I think you'll go with the strongest team both. I don't even think you'll be, well, not that we'll not be looking at a cup final. No, I think we'll be putting out what you think is the strongest team against
Zagreb. I've forgotten Zagreb as well. You've rubbed off on me, Charlie. Andy, big decisions to be made there then tomorrow night, first of all, because I think Roger's probably right. Celtic don't really need to have that same sort of worry, do they? If that's even the right word. And also Rangers are on their 10 points in Europe already, so it should be fine. Who's the best option at left back tomorrow? Let's fly through them.
Do you know what, I think both are really good, but I think
they're taking it in turns, aren't they?
I'm going to go Taylor.
Who's the best option up front?
Oh, Kyogo, no doubt.
Definitely, away from home. And midfield three? McGregor a given?
Yeah, McGregor's a given, but for me, I'm still giving Hatate the nod over Arnie Ingles. I know he scored a goal at the weekend, but I don't know if that 11 million price tag sort of hanging over his head, because I think you certainly see a player there. He's got so much potential with his size, his stature, his athleticism. He's a young boy, but for me, Hatate, you know, how many things we spoke about that Leipzig performance, I thought Hatate was a real standout within that game. And I think Bernardo, I think, always seems to play these European games and play them well, and I think when he's had his opportunity over the last few weeks, he's done really well. I think that's my three.
Just in the interest of time getting away from us, you mentioned Arnie Ingles, had a few tweets, people wanting your opinions on whether that VAR check for a red card for him at the weekend should have been a red or not for you.
I actually thought it was a yellow. I think I got it right.
Got it right first time.
Yeah, I'm going strong yellow.
Strong yellow.
Yeah,
orange.
A light orange, yeah.
Right, okay. Nothing more, definitely not. Can't see the case.
That said, I gave Jack Milne of Aberdeen a yellow. An orange the week before. And it was, the KMI said it should have been a red, yeah.
You could be on that panel for all we know, Andy Halliday.
Yeah. Well, nothing would be red, no. So I doubt it.
Yellow the right for Arnie Ingles.
Yeah.
What doesn't tick what boxes doesn't it? Doesn't tick any of them, presumably,
I don't
for
think
you.
It ticks any of them. Watch the Chelsea game yesterday in Caicedo.
Yeah.
How, that did tick boxes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And he stayed on the park, so.
Good referee in that. Was happy with that yesterday, Caicedo.
It's almost like it's still just a matter of opinions. Mad, eh? Crazy. Anyway, let's move on. Thank you to Charlie. Time for this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas.
With J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
We can really ramp this up this week because we are days away. Celtic, Rangers, the League Cup final at Hampden, and you could be there thanks to Cash for Kids. Not only could you be there, we are talking VIP silver debenture tickets with lounge access in the main stand for both Celtic and Rangers fans. And all you need to do is enter our raffle with all the money going to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. It is a win-win. That's the way I describe it every night, because it is the ultimate description of it. You could have a ticket for one of the biggest games of the year and help disadvantaged children in our communities at the very same time. So for your chance to win two tickets, if you're a Celtic fan, text Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901 before 8 p.m. on Thursday the 12th. So do it quickly. The text costs one standard network rate message plus a £10 donation to Cash for Kids. The great thing is, every single penny of that, we can honestly guarantee 100% of that goes straight to children that need it. So over 18s only, T's and C's on the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com. That's Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna here. 0141 951 1025. Looking ahead to an unbelievable week. It just keeps going, really, between now and
Christmas.
Christmas.
You must be absolutely beside yourself now.
Love that.
The shopping done.
All the shop was done in about October.
And he's tree up since the Euros finished.
Yeah.
The shopping is done though. I'm well organised.
That is good for you. That's very impressive. I like the jeopardy of leaving it
last minute. No, it's the worst thing in the world.
No, do you know, I like it. See, when the shops start to open late and I can go when I'm finished here at 8 o'clock and go on my way home, I like that. Just a wee bit of risk and reward.
And what about Motherwell? Motherwell playing the Friday night before Christmas, then another game before Christmas. When do you get a Christmas night out?
No comment.
That either means it's been or it's coming up. We'll get that out of them before the end of the show. Actually, we've got Andy Halliday's Christmas jingle, just so we can get in the spirit of it all.
Ho ho ho. He doesn't just celebrate scoring in against Rangers, but he does celebrate Christmas in November.
It's good, that it's catchy. You'll be singing that all night, Roger Hanna. That is plenty though, I have to say.
I'm surprised there's no fitted in a McGregor taco in the lyrics there.
That is true. We could add that for next week. Let's see how we get on. Alan's a Rangers fan. How's it going, Alan?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind tonight?
I'm a first-time caller, first of all, so it's pretty cool to be on.
Alan, this is huge, honestly. I don't mean to put pressure on you, but I'm always fascinated by what makes someone take the plunge for the first time. What are you thinking tonight?
I listen quite often. I tend to listen when Rangers are doing better, obviously. That's probably pretty standard.
Yep.
it was basically Clément's comments yesterday. I'm not given to overreacting for things like this, and I'm not somebody who makes rash opinions particularly, but I don't think that the differences between Rangers and Spurs and Rangers and Celtic are really the same ballpark, as was mentioned on the show earlier. And I don't think a Rangers manager should be referring to Celtic as being out of our league, especially not in the run-up to a cup final. We're defending a trophy.
Those who defend it, Alan, if you like, say a couple of things. Firstly, that it's true, and secondly, that maybe it's sort of mind games. None of that does it for you then?
I don't think it would be mind games. I think that's quite unlikely. It doesn't really seem like Clément, although maybe I'll be surprised about that. It would be nice to think that he's actually going into it thinking, right, let's go and win this, but that's not what that... You know, his comments don't really say that, and that's the worry.
Yeah, Roger, I mean, you said earlier on you didn't have too much issue with it. I'll take a big step back and tell you how it feels as a wee team fan then, right? Just to the way we sort of feel about it is that even if it is true, which, you know, you're saying you think it is and Alan's got his doubts, I think that is fine, you know, that's okay. But what you can't do is have it both ways. Yeah. Don't expect credit for beating Ross County then. And I'm not just talking about Rangers, I'm just talking generally because we hear it when Celtic go Champions League. That's fine, but if you want to mention it, then you don't get credit. You don't get the credit for, oh, look at this, look, this is good, and well, we're ticking along nicely now. And that was that. See that 3-0 win against Ross County or the 3-0 win against Hibs. You can't get credit for it in the same way. Do you know what I mean? You need to decide.
Absolutely.
You need to pick which camp you're in.
And I don't think supporters of any club, you know, I don't think supporters, sorry, of Celtic or Rangers are bothered when Philip Clément talks about Spurs having a bigger budget or Brendan Rodgers,
sure,
I think it was Ange playing against Real Madrid, but you know, if Ange Real Madrid have got a lot more money than us, they don't mind that. And I don't think a lot of Celtic and Rangers fans expect credit when they beat St Johnstone and Ross County because of the budget differential. I don't think they do. What will annoy Rangers fans is the manager of Rangers talking about Celtic in those terms as if Celtic are some financially superior force.
I think, Andy, obviously things, 2012, things have changed, and then there's a lot more focus on it, and Celtic are in a much stronger financial position than Rangers are. However, my kind of memory of this stuff is, presumably, there have been loads of times over the years when Rangers spent more than Celtic, mm-hmm. or Celtic spent more than Rangers, and you never really bothered it. You never really brought it up. You know, they were just seen as these two rivals. You go head-to-head, you know. I don't remember in whatever year 2002 or in somebody saying, ah, but they spent more money than us this year. Is that just me?
No, I think it's completely fair. Again, like you said, it's a rivalry. They've went up against each other for so long that you never sort of compare financial figures. Or, like you said, I think you touched on it earlier. Rangers' wage budget was higher than Celtic only 18 months ago and for the two or three previous seasons. The reason I have an issue with it is because I think it contradicts his words in the AGM in front of the Rangers supporters, saying how he wants to instill this mentality of winning games, winning trophies. I just don't think that goes hand in hand with your comments that you say. I think you're already planting that seed of doubt or trying to make defeat seem way bigger than it is if you go and beat Celtic in the cup final. So am I offended by it? No, but I don't like the comments.
Is that along the lines of how you see it, Alan?
Well, I would agree with Andy in that I wouldn't say I'm offended either. I don't think it's a good thing to be hearing as a Rangers fan. I think what Andy's saying about mentality and building that winning mentality, what Clément said suggests that he doesn't actually think like that. So that's why I say that I'm not given to overreacting, but I still think what he's saying is pretty bad because of that. It doesn't suggest that he's got the mentality that on Sunday we're going to go into this game and let's go toe-to-toe and let's win this trophy. That's not what he's saying.
Do you think it's the same mentality, Alan, that got him to lead his players on a lap of honour when they drew 3-3 with Celtic at Ibrox last season?
Well, I was thinking about that because there was kind of applause on the field after the Ross County game there, and I was thinking that I didn't really mind that because, you know, there is a kind of crisis of sorts going on at the club, and if it's about rallying the fans, then going on and having a bit of applause, then
Alan, I didn't mind that because the supporters have gone a long way for a 12 o'clock kickoff in the Highlands on a Sunday.
Alan's not bothered by that.
It doesn't bother me. If they want to go and thank the supporters for going that extra mile to go to Dingwall at that time on a Sunday. But I think a lot of Rangers supporters were unhappy at a lap of honour last season, you know. They sent out the wrong message. A bit like the same people think those words yesterday send out the wrong message.
Well, I think that probably did bother me a little bit at the time, but not enough for me to obviously phone up you guys or, you know, actually make a bit of a point about it. But like Gordon says, he's fascinated why people want to phone up for the first time. It's because those comments really bothered me. And it almost suggested that Clement's not the guy if he's not got that mentality. That's what that says to me. I mean, I'm open to what anyone else says on it, but that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I've seen some really, and don't get me wrong, you see a lot of strong reactions to everything on social media, and sometimes it's wildly over the top, but genuinely a lot, Roger, and it's almost like, for some Rangers fans, the 1-3-0, third one in a week, they thought they were going to be able to enjoy it, and then this comment came along that annoyed them. Now, it doesn't change anything. You know, they still won the game and they can still light the 3 points from the 9 points from the last week, but it just another sort of kind of maybe brought them down from the nice feeling that they had after.
I understand. Although Philip Clement will speak again on Wednesday to preview the Tottenham game on Thursday night, and I dare say he will be asked about the reaction to his comments. I'm only guessing at the minute. The only defence I can think for Philip Clement is ahead of two season-defining fixtures, potentially two job-defining fixtures for Philip Clement, he's maybe trying to instill a bit of a siege mentality in his players, trying to make, you know, that kind of underdog fight, if you like, in the players. You know, we've got everything against us in these two games, so you'll need to give everything to win these two games.
Which is perfectly normal, isn't it? Except no half of this rivalry wants to be the underdog,
that's maybe where he clouds everything. He hasn't read the room.
Anyway, Alan, that was enjoyable. Will we do that again, or are you going to need to wait till you're really annoyed about something else?
Well, I might make a point of calling up again because it is pretty enjoyable. And when I was first on the phone, I was a bit like, "Oh, I'm actually on," and it's a bit like, "Oh," but now.
I enjoyed it, Alan. Let's do it again. Thank you very much to Alan in Coatbridge, which takes us very nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Huge news coming out of the Beat the Pundit circuit last week. In your absence, Andy Halliday, you were off. Did you hear?
I didn't, but I did listen back.
We finally toppled him. It took us to give him a -2 handicap, Roger Hanna, but we finally beat him. -2, you lost in a tiebreaker. Was that you just trying to get put back on to -1?
No.
Because it's not happening.
Listen, my super scoreboard sources tell me they always like to start a new year with a new gimmick or a new idea.
Do they?
There is talk that Andy and I are going to meet in the middle in the new year.
Well, both go -1.
That has been mentioned to me, Gordon. It has been mentioned to me as a new Monday night gimmick.
Don't mind it. I tell you what, the point still stands. I ain't on your level, that's for sure.
We'll see what happens. So 141-951-1025. Lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday is here, so is Roger Hanna, and what a busy, busy night and week and month and remainder of the season we're going to have. We're looking back on the weekend, so get your thoughts there. Whether it's Dingwall, Celtic Park, Paisley for Andy's team or anything else, give us a call. We're looking ahead, of course. Celtic play Champions League tomorrow. They'll have kicked off by the time we come on air. So pick your team, who plays up front, midfield, left back, etc. Rangers and Spurs is still a few days away, but it's the type of fixture that's got people thinking already. Could Rangers put either the final nail or one of the final nails in the coffin of Ange Postecoglou? What a thought that would be. I'm sure that would be well talked about. And anything else that you think we've missed, put us in our place, give us a call, and we'll speak to you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Roger Hanna starts on -2, but he lost on -2 last week. Andy Halliday still has a 100% record, which means Terry in the south side, you obviously are trying to come on here and prove a point. You know how tough this is going to be, but you want to cut these two down to size.
I'll get a try anyway, boys. Give a try.
Like it. Played before?
I have actually. I beat Mark Wilson and I got beat at Big Bartley, so I wasn't happy with that.
That seems like quite a mixed record, that.
Marv's a weird one, isn't he? Marv can be brilliant. Oh, no, great.
Dreadful. Yeah, if the questions are all after 2015, he's fine.
He's class.
Anything before that, he'd never heard of Scotland. So.
Can I just say as well, God, I'm with my oldest daughter, who's a big fan of Andy's Good Lady.
This is the crossover we've been waiting on. See, to be fair, if I'm ever having to talk about you to people of a certain demographic, I'll just try and say, you know, have you heard of Your Good Lady first? Yeah. That's the easier way. No offence, I'm not saying that they've not heard of you.
None taken at all.
But it's just easier. This could be the crossover. Does she play Beat the Pundit?
I don't think she'd be very good at it.
Right, okay. Let's see what we've got then tonight. Did you hear about Marvin, by the way? He's not on this week because he was at East Kilbride against Falkirk working last Monday.
Good game.
And it was just so cold that had enough, sent the text home, book a holiday right now, out of here. Sick of it. And he's away. So he's not joining us this week.
East Kilbride, is that affecting a lot of people?
Just tip you over the edge.
Yep.
Oh, fair enough. Right, easy heads.
For some,
by the way, I was doing so well. Great self-restraint. I've had the chocolate coin since the start of December and somebody in here has eaten it and it wasn't me. So ask yourself who that works for this company is maybe struggling with their appetite, shall we say, / weight. I wouldn't want to fat shame. And has eaten my coin. We'll get to the bottom of it. We've got a new one. Heads, it's Andy Halliday. And tails, it's Roger Hanna. And there we go. Look, it's salt. The chocolate coin's what we needed all along.
Oh,
that's tails because that's got an H on that side, in case you're wondering.
Bounce back tonight for Roger.
I thought the H was for Hanna.
Or Halliday. That doesn't really help us, does
it?
Right. It's Roger Hanna up against Terry, so we give Roger something else to listen to. Terry, you've got 30 seconds. You answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know. And also, Terry, thanks to the team at Cairnhill Steel Structures, during Cash for Kids, there's a tenner for every correct answer going to the charity, okay?
Yep, excellent. Let's do it.
Right, let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who was the only player sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
My pass.
What word is at the bottom of the Hibs badge?
Pass.
Who's the current Airdrie manager?
James McCraig.
St Johnstone's Mackenzie Kirk is the son of which former player?
Andy.
Dundee are in what position in the league currently?
Pass.
Name any player currently on 6 Scottish Premiership goals this season?
Luke McCown.
Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the league?
Hearts.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, you back?
Yeah, it was good. We about Jack O'Can.
I'm still amazed that there's not Christmas songs at this time.
Gordon, and you need to do me a favour.
What?
The producers need to get the clip of Roger dancing as soon as
the music. Is he bobbing his head, was
it? Well, like, you know what I mean?
Surely one of those cameras has captured that. Surely. Was it Dad dancing?
That's the only type to do.
Right, you ready?
Go.
On your -2. Your time starts now. Who is the only player to be sent off in the Premiership at the weekend?
Gogic.
What word is at the bottom of the Hibs badge?
Pass.
Who is the current Airdrie manager?
Reece McCabe.
St Johnstone's Mackenzie Kirk is the son of which former player?
Andy Kirk.
Which team is currently... Sorry, where are Dundee in the league currently?
6th.
Name any player currently on 6 Scottish Premiership goals.
Callum McGregor.
Who were the last team to beat Celtic in the league?
Motherwell.
Okay.
No squeeze another.
No, he gets another 5 seconds.
Nah, listen, do you know what? I'll explain it as I go through. I had a bit of a brain fog that I had to clear up midway through it. Okay.
You've won then.
Maybe I should have given you another one.
Oh, no, he needs one. You need one. I'm defending you here.
Got all 3 questions in there.
I'm defending you, Roger. Or maybe we get the cut back and see how many seconds it was.
Where does Dundee,
What? I'll tell you why that is. Right, I probably do owe you another one. I do. Terry, I need to give him another one. But I'll make him answer it instantly, right? And then that'll be fair.
Give you half a second to answer it.
How many times have Hibs won the Scottish Cup? Go. Quick.
3.
Yes, correct. But that was...
Let's go through them. Alex Gogic was the only player sent off in the Premiership at the weekend. One for... chopping down Andy Halliday. You did you bit of sort of go down easily on that, or
wasn't it me? Oh, the first
booking. First one's you.
Oh yeah. Oh, what? Clear booking.
What are you thinking, Roger Hannah? Was Alex Gogic hard done by? Not for the first one's the old.
Not for the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Does intent come into it?
I mean, it doesn't, does it?
I don't think there's any intent whatsoever.
Of course there's not.
I think the boots just happen mm-hmm. to collide with one another. The Motherwell player goes mm-hmm. down.
No, you definitely feel sorry for him, don't you? Because you know that it is accidental.
And I wonder if also the previous week, his pal, Marcus Fraser, appeals sure. and gets it overturned mm-hmm. because it was a straight red. But Alex, two yellows, and he can't. I mean, what will he be saying at Gordon Dale at school gates this week?
But our esteemed referees could get in touch and tell us, is it the old, it's stopping a promising attack, whether it's an accident or not? You know, as hard as sort of sorry for Alex Gogic as you would feel.
It's
you know what I mean?
It's just funny. It's the first time I've heard the words Motherwell and promising attack in the same sense.
You never quite know if it's going to come to anything.
A Motherwell player running towards the corner is a promising attack.
Well, he's kind of still the last line of defence, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm only kidding.
I'd feel sorry for him because I get it. You know, you're not even trying to make a challenge, but I just mean in terms of how the referee might have seen
it. Does he need to give him a yellow card?
That's what I'm asking. Is that why it is? Because you're right. It's not like you read the rule books and say an accidental clip of the heels carries a different punishment.
Yeah. Again, your pal Wally and the KMI. Fascinated to see what's said later in the week.
Did Motherwell take that free kick from a different position from where the initial foul was as well? Maybe?
I feel like that's probably where you could be potentially feeling hard done
good,
by.
Good free kick, good delivery, good header.
Yeah. Anyway, we're getting distracted
good
here. Sellies. Roger Hanna got Alex Gogic. He's one behind. The word at the bottom of the Hibs badge is Edinburgh. Apparently, I never got that. One of those where I don't even know if I believe it until I'm going to just look it up. I'm sure the producers have got it bang on. I mean, Hibernian in Edinburgh.
No way, Terry got that.
Nah, he did not. Rhys McCabe, Terry, is the manager.
If I've said it, man.
You said James McPake. You did, however, get that Andy Kirk was Mackenzie's dad, but so did Roger Hannah. So what's that? Is that his level still?
Yep.
Maybe level. I made a mess of the question for Terry, so I had to remember what mess of it I made to give you the same mess. But fine, no, I'm comfortable with the way I asked it.
No.
I'm comfortable with it.
This isn't like you, Gordon.
No. I asked you both what position are Dundee in the league. Terry said fifth, Roger said sixth. And Roger gets it. It's just that's not what's written in my page, but for some reason that's the way I asked it. So Roger goes.
Can you move the quizmaster onto minus one? Or
Roger goes one in front.
Plus one.
Name any player currently on six goals in the Premiership. Terry, this is where I was worried for you because Luke McCowan's not one of them. Cherney, Dessers, Kyogo, or McGregor. However, he struck one back again because Hearts were the last team to beat Celtic in the league.
Brain fog.
That was the booing Santa Claus, was it not?
Yeah.
December last year. And I gave you the bonus one because I felt bad, but now that I'm looking back, I don't think you needed it. Hibs have won the Scottish Cup 3 times. So it was a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Roger. Minus your 2 would take you on to 4. And I think Terry only got 2 anyway. Yeah, something like that. So didn't even need it. There we go. Terry, it was a pleasure to have your company anyway.
Thanks for Terry.
Trying.
All the best, Terry.
All the best for Christmas, boys.
And you too. There we go.
Listen, love it, mate.
You love that, don't you?
What a message to spread that is.
Because usually once it starts to ramp up, the callers all mention it. I think Friday night, I think we got the first sort of Merry Christmas.
I've been walking by the street saying Merry Christmas to people.
Rubbish. You're never that type of guy. Not in a million years.
Gordon, I'm telling you.
You talk to members of the public.
I spread cheer oil.
Absolute rubbish. No way. Not a chance.
Telling you.
I tell you, if somebody came up to me in the street and said Merry Christmas, I would be going in the opposite direction.
Not wrong with that.
There's no way he does that. I'm not having that for a second.
Hey, if anyone out there I've passed and said Merry Christmas, phone in, please.
No way. Just walking down the street.
By the road. For coffee, like Merry Christmas.
Nonsense. Christmas.
Do you think Gordon Dale spreads festive cheer in the streets of Motherwell?
The guy who doesn't have a Christmas tree this year or any other has never sent a Christmas card, which I can kind of understand because it's dying out, but still, even back in the day, and said that no one other than his granddaughter is getting a present this year. You're asking me if that guy
spreads
festive cheer.
Cards only for me, to be fair. I'm on board with the cards.
Oh, he was in good form at the Cash for Kids lunch on Friday, let me tell you.
Word has reached me, mm-hmm. yes.
He was making business deals, transactions mm-hmm. all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I've heard he's quite the chanter on the karaoke as well.
Did you hear that video last week that we that surfaced.
Not as good as Tony Orlando, though, is it?
Nah, of course. Absolutely not.
I'll be interested. I was quite impressed with his singing, I have to say. And I think his larynx, or whatever it is you used to sing, I'm told is the only part of his body that he's not having upgraded in 2025.
I don't want to talk about Gordon Dale's larynx, if you don't mind. And we'll just leave
he's
it
having
there.
A wee bit of work done in the new year?
Apparently so.
Need the clip of you dancing.
Yep, we'll get it. We'll get it sorted. 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter at Clyde SSB as well. As we look ahead to a huge week. Just on that, we touched on it on Beat the Pundit, Alex Gogic sent off. How big a win was that? How much did that feel like a big victory for you boys on Saturday?
Yeah, really big. You feel as if that, I think everyone remembers that 15 game, you know, winless spell last year for Motherwell, and got the sense that, listen, you're not expecting for a minute you're going to go in that, but after you've not won in three, you know that the supporters out there have got that in the back of their mind, so it was always important to get that next win wherever we could. Listen, I think anyone could agree that a point at any given time away to St Mirren wouldn't have been a bad result. I think especially the way the game was, it was far from a classic, but I do feel as if we had the chances in the second half to go and win it, and thankfully managed to do so, and bumps us up to, what's that, fifth in the league now?
Was there, and you could go fourth if you beat United at the weekend.
Yeah, but big game. Played them twice already this season, obviously both, well, games have been decided by one goal, been tight games, so hopefully can go same again at
the weekend. Was the clean sheet an important thing, even if it had finished 0-0 off the back of losing four at Dens and chipping goals at home for fun?
I was getting sick of it.
Yeah, do you know what, is it, it's something that, listen, it's spoken about by the manager but not overly stressed about, because we're always working on, you know, defensively what we're doing with the ball and off the ball, but we actually spoke about it in the dressing room where we seen a stat, I think it was four clean sheets in the last 41, something crazy,
52
there you go, even crazier. So again, that was just a sort of general chat we had in the dressing room, that listen, that's something that's got to be addressed. I feel as if any team outside the Old Firm, over the course of a season, they always seem to do well depending on how they do defensively. The reason for me, we never made top six last year because we were the high scorers outside the Old Firm in the league, but defensively we were nowhere near where we should be, so that's something we've tried to improve this year. Feels as if we started the season sort of in that manner, although not many clean sheets but not conceding a lot of goals, but certainly in the three defeats we've had, we've been poor defensively as a team.
Any Motherwell fans want to join in, you can do 01419511025. Frankie is on the line. How are you, Frankie?
Jeez, I'm just going out the bath.
Oh, John.
Come on, Frankie, boy. Make sure you're dry.
Don't let us interrupt you, Frankie. Was
no,
it good?
I was getting a little bit dry there and your boy phoned me back.
Relaxing, was it?
Oh, it was actually. The salts in and everything.
Oh, bro, bit of bubble bath.
Bubble bath is, yeah.
Frankie knows how you live it up. Listen,
no, really, my back's a killer, so.
Oh, there's nothing.
Anyway,
nothing worse.
Forget about me.
I can't, Frankie.
Andy, you're still one of my top performers on there.
I appreciate that, mate. Thank you very
Frankie's
much.
He's a Celtic fan as well. Takes a lot to see that.
I am a Celtic fan. You took a wee bit of getting to used to, but same as you. I like listening to you. You've got good opinions, and you try your hardest not to show your bias.
Thank you very much.
I thought it was just going to be generally like you try your hardest. Just. In life, which is a rubbish compliment. Right, anyway, bath time, Frankie. What are you thinking about the football?
It was Charlie's point, actually, got me a call. It was really a day where we was talking about the team and how we performed on Saturday and stuff. I mean, a lot of the things on Saturday, and I think Brendan referenced it, but didn't he actually name Andy? We're at our best when we've got our three Japanese boys and Kuhn. Absolutely. Going forward, pressing like a heart. And the midfield guys just follow their two follow. And we weren't doing that. I like big Arcon Tori, just because I'm not very clean in many of them. But he doesn't do the pressing. You see, my head was wanting to press. Kuhn wasn't sure. So I think that's where the defensive things come from. And I don't know how you look at it, but me personally, if you've got a fast one at the back, the other guy's going to take the centre for it. What's his name? The boy that missed the chances.
You stand on him,
and then trust he's a yard behind you to cover it up. So that's just a basic thing for me. However, my point being is for tomorrow night, I've just actually got a picture from my son the other day on the phone with Big Joe Hart. I said to my son,
send him back, you in the bath, Frankie. See if Joe Hart likes that.
Oh no, I'm in the bedroom now. I've managed to.
Oh, good. It's quite well. It's
rapid, well,
right, right next to it. But I'm, well, I've got children there, so that's fair enough.
Hey, you're some man.
What I was saying here was, I think this is what it'll be. A team tomorrow night will be the team that starts the final, and maybe bar one. And the bar one might be, he might put Luke McCowan in and Steady Engels, but I don't think he will. Just because McCowan can't play on Saturday, Sunday. I think he'll go with what he thinks is his best 11, and obviously if it's not working, he can change it. He's got guys to change it. You know, there's five subs, and you've got a long, we've got a fight. Somebody said earlier,
yeah, the five days. Roger, I do wonder that just generally because we often simplify things, and we've been doing it with Celtic to be fair in the last couple of weeks, as if it's like so-called big game, i.e. Champions League trip to Pittodrie, or not big game, which sounds really disrespectful, but you know what I mean. Ross County at home,
Hibs at home.
I wonder if this week Brendan Rodgers has already, because he's alluded to doing this sort of thing before, decided that in those areas that there isn't much between them, maybe Taylor is the man for tomorrow and Vi is the man for Sunday, or Engels is the man for tomorrow and Bernardo's the man for Sunday, or whatever, because those ones are close enough that it wouldn't, it's not like that would be seen of as Celtic playing as an understrength team against Rangers.
No, and it's difficult. Frankie makes a good point. There's no Luke McCowan available. He played for Dundee in a tournament earlier on. Does that enhance his chances of seeing action against Dinamo tomorrow? Carter Vickers, good though he is, you don't often see Carter Vickers playing twice in the space of 5 days. So is there a decision to be made on Carter Vickers and where the priorities lie? You touch yourself, Gordon. Sometimes Adam Eder plays away from home in the European games. So does that give Kyogo a break? Because Kyogo will start against Rangers. Nicholas Kuhn came off at half-time, didn't he, at the weekend? So where's he in terms of general fitness? Does he need a little rest? When would he get the rest? I think there's some fascinating selections at left back's another one you've touched on, Gordon.
Thank you very much to Frankie. Hopefully he's all dried up and ready to go. Enjoy the rest of his night, Frankie and Lanark. And you could join him. You don't need to be in the bath. It can be much more straightforward than that call. And we'll do it next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here on 0141 951 1025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Give us a call, let us know what you're thinking, send us a tweet. We've got a full time teaser as well for you. Topical, are you ready?
Aye, let's do it. Aye.
Oh, great, brilliant enthusiasm dripping off you there. Like Frankie's bath water.
My enthusiasm might go up when I hear the
question. Well, I'm disappointed for you because I think this is more up Roger Hanna's street, quite frankly. But anyway, let's see how we go.
Must be a Tony Orlando question.
It is. With Tottenham due to play Rangers in Europe, there are 11 Scottish players who've been signed by Tottenham since 1983.
Come on, man.
Can you name them? Well, you come on, a couple of modernish ones.
Hutton.
Right, Alan Hutton, yes.
Richard Gough.
Yep, back in 86. Andy, any more for you?
No.
Not really.
Stevie Archibald.
I mean,
was he before?
He's not on the list anyway. Blame Jamie who sent it in.
Probably before. 11 Scots signed by Stephen Ferguson.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've not even heard him.
Signed from East Fife. And then another former East Fife striker, Gordon Jury.
Brilliant.
Oh, Gordon Jury.
Come on, you should have got that, Andy. Let's leave it there.
If I should.
That's four of the 11 Scottish players from 1983 to be signed by Tottenham. Can you name them? That's the full-time teaser. If you like the sound of it, Jamie sent the email in to fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Do send it in, please, if you want to cast your minds either back on the weekend or forward to Europe, then you can do. Give us a call. And we'll go through it all. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. He's been speaking out there in Zagreb. We heard from Andrew McLean, sort of paraphrasing some of the messages that Brendan Rodgers had. Let's hear a bit from the man himself. He says he doesn't think there's any doubt that the squad is ready for their first Champions League away win since 2017.
I don't think there's any doubt. I think working with this group now and this team over the last 15, 16 months, whatever it is, I feel that we're in a really, really good place. And we, I know I can. We can arrive into these games now having made some big performances that we feel can get us big results at the level. So, yeah, having won in Anderlecht, that was it. That was a great night for the team and the support. And like you say, we would like to give ourselves the best opportunity we can, and to do that is to look to win our next game, and it's away from home, so we want to take that chance to do that.
And he says he won't be fooled by this narrative that Dinamo Zagreb are in crisis.
I don't become weary, I just don't believe it. That's the reality. You can never, when a team's in crisis mode, that's always dangerous for me. And that's why I never think about it and look at it, because I always think it gives the opportunity for someone else to come in. You know, whether it's players that are missing, or whether the form's not quite been good, what you know is in Champions League, once the music comes, every team is motivated to win. So I don't necessarily fall into that trap, really. I just know that this will be a tough game for us, but we're ready for it, and we're excited by it.
Kind of starting to realise that stuff, Roger, because when our teams do go into Europe, you kind of have to look at what that opposition is doing on paper, but you end up just going round in circles on it. Take, like last week, Nice, everybody pointed out, I think the eye test told us Nice weren't very good on the night. But then people are quite right to point out this is a team that were they unbeaten at home.
Yeah, and I was in fifth in league,
or something like that. I don't think Club Bruges were pulling up any trees domestically as such. But looked
a good team.
They looked really good, and the Champions League performances have been fine. So you know, you end up maybe. Do we put too much emphasis on...
Listen, I think Brendan's right. Everything he said there is absolutely correct. He won't allow his players to be lulled into any, you know, sense of false security that they're going to go to the Maximilian steamroller Dinamo Zagreb tomorrow night. That's not going to happen. But he will believe they can go there and win the game. They'll need to play better than they played against Hibs. They'll probably need to find the type of performance they found away to Atalanta at home and to RB Leipzig. But they're capable of that type of performance. They've shown it in Europe.
Do you think it'll need to be as defensive as the Atalanta one?
I think this is a completely different game of football. I think Brendan Rodgers will know that as well. They were really well organised, they were diligent, they were defensively determined against Atalanta off the back of that beating in Dortmund. But I think Celtic will see this as a difficult game, but one where they'll be looking to impose their style of play on Dinamo and go and win the game.
Yeah, listen, I don't think I can read too much in terms of their domestic form. We don't watch them every single week, but I do think, you know, hearing they've got key players missing here and they've only got four fit defenders, I think that's got to be a boost to Celtic fans and the Celtic players. That being said, they're a Champions League team. They're a Champions League team for a reason. They picked up 7 points so far in the group league phase as well, so it's a half-decent return. I remember a couple of weeks ago, Roger, when I was sitting here on a Monday, and I think you made the comment that you can't remember the last time Celtic were such big favourites going into that Club Bruges game. And I think Club Bruges' performance surprised us all. I thought they were excellent on the day. Celtic not quite their best, especially in the first half. And again, come away with a point which wasn't too bad a result. But it's going to be a difficult game tomorrow night, but I must say, I do think Celtic will win.
James is a Celtic fan. How are you feeling, James?
Well, I'm a wee bit apprehensive. I agree with Andy. I think we should win tomorrow. But that's not what I'm on for. I'm on because of the left back with Greg Taylor. Mm-hmm. Against Hibs, he was near in the middle of the park. He was at the wood court and as a left back. So, if Hibs is a goal scorer, we'd get beaten Saturday. I'm not kidding you on. The defence was all over the place.
Do you think that's Greg Taylor's fault? I mean, he's probably not told to be in there.
Well, I thought he was a left back, not a midfield player. We don't want that. We just got with David Liverpool. As I say, changed it up. Derby does in Liverpool. He comes out in the middle of the park, and Liverpool are weak doing that side. So we're having the same problem with Greg Taylor going in the middle of the park. We want a left back. I would play. I'd play the Barcelona kid tomorrow.
Alex Vai.
I would play the Barcelona kid. Bring back Real Matai and bring back Bardo in the middle of the park. The strongest team.
See, to be fair though, I wonder.
Game till Sunday.
Yeah, I think that will happen. The sort of one at a time mantra, but it surely can't have it both ways. Wednesday night, Thursday on this show, Greg Taylor being in the pitch, as they say, is the reason that Celtic get their goal against Aberdeen.
Inverted fullbacks, Gordon. It's all their age.
Yeah, I mean, but do you know what I mean?
We can talk about the tactical intricacies all the night. Celtic will need to do something about the left back position because Alec Vai is only on loan. Barcelona could technically recall him in January. Greg Taylor is out of contract at the end of the season, could technically sign for another team on a pre-contract in January. So long term, Celtic need to solve the left back situation. Vai's done perfectly well. Taylor has had his moments this season as well, probably none more so when he teed up Real Hitati for that goal at Pittodrie last Wednesday night. But I think the longer into this season we go, I don't think James will be the only Celtic supporter coming on this show asking about left backs.
Yeah, listen, if we're talking about a couple of the instances of in the Hibs game at the weekend, I think Frankie touched on it just before. And when Frankie was in the bath wearing the towel,
he
touched on it just a couple of times where he talked about Ida's press and he talked about Trusty. When you watch it back, I tend to agree with the Ida part, where if Celtic are playing that high line on the halfway line, and if you give any footballer time and space to get their head up and drop a ball into half a pitch, I think they can do that. So I don't think it was so much in terms of defensive position. I thought it was Celtic's pressure at the top end of the pitch. I think Brendan Rodgers sort of alluded to that. But then there was a couple of scenarios where it was actually Liam Scales, who's clearly encouraged to step into, you know, a number 10 position, whoever drops in there. But I don't think Trusty was very alert in the danger. I don't think he was ready to get in a foot race for Kukurevich when he runs one-on-one with the goalie. But I just feel Cameron Carter-Vickers, with his experience and his presence in that centre-half position, I think helps that. We've spoken about how well Scales has done when he's played for Celtic, Trusty in certain games as well, but it always seems to be when they've got that man next to them. I think he just makes the game a lot easier for whoever he's partnered with.
For obvious reasons, we come at these things from a Hibs, a Celtic point of view. If David Gray had hair to tear out, would he be at Mikola Kukurevic in particular? Maybe Joe Newell's chance. You don't get three better than those, do you?
If Joe Newell had been as emphatic with the chance at one end as he was at the other, then it may have been a different game. Oddly enough, I don't think David Gray will be too upset at Hibernian's work over the past week, because they got a win at Fir Park. They got a very hard-earned point against Aberdeen, and they performed well at Celtic Park. I think David Gray will probably be quite content. I know they're bottom of the league and you can't be too content at that, but they've got Ross County coming to Easter Road on Saturday, a team who haven't won away from home in the league in 14 months, who haven't scored away from home in the league in 3 months, and who didn't look great against Rangers yesterday. I think David Gray will be looking for his players to replicate a Celtic Park performance, because that should be enough to get them a win on Saturday.
You think they'll win tomorrow, James? You might be the last Celtic fan to preview it. What's the score going to be?
I think Celtic will win 2-1, and I think it'll be late on, and I think it'll be a sub that'll score the winner.
Very specific, I don't mind that. There's every chance, squad game and all that stuff. It's interesting, the thought again, we do all this on paper, that young boys at home, given what they've done previously, should be an excellent opportunity for Celtic to get the points.
Yeah.
Obviously, though, trying to do it at the first time of asking them, I mean, there was a chance to move on to 10 against Bruges. How much of an incentive do you think that is? Because then it would strike off the bit that Brendan Rodgers is talking about. It would be a win away from home as well. You know, it would be another kind of achievement ticked off.
It would. Listen, it's within Celtic to go and win the game tomorrow night. Big picture, I don't think it matters too much, because I think they've more than enough to beat young boys at home.
Would you want that? It's still possible, but would you want 1 point from Bruges and Zagreb, though? Would that send out the right sort of messaging?
Listen, I know what you mean, but you have to set that against a backdrop of 4 points against Atalanta away and at home to RB Leipzig.
That cancel it out then.
You take points where you can get them in this new look Champions League. We've quite enjoyed the new look Champions League format. It looks as if Celtic have quite enjoyed it as well, Gordon.
I think when the fixtures first came out, you looked at the four home games with Leipzig and Club Brugge and Young Boys, and you did think there's three real winnable ties, Bratislava, I mean the other three winnable ties for Celtic. Can they pick up a point here or there in the away fixtures? But that Dinamo Zagreb game, that was the one that you feel like if Celtic are going to get their first away win in Europe, I think it was 2017 against Anderlecht, you do feel as if this was that real opportunity tomorrow night against Zagreb. So I must say, I do fancy Celtic. I think they'll go and win the game. It'll be interesting to see the team. Is there going to be one eye on Sunday? But I don't think there will be. I think Brendan Rodgers will go really strong.
Okay, thank you to James then on the line. What about this teaser? It's more of a Roger Hanna question than an Andy Halliday one. With Tottenham due to play Rangers, 11 Scots from 1983 signed by Tottenham. So you've gone Alan Hutton, Richard Gough, Stephen Ferguson and Gordon Jury.
Oh, a big Colin Calderwood.
Big Colin Calderwood is there, well done.
As the Dazzler says,
I thought you were going to say him.
There's always a goalie. Neil Sullivan.
Yeah, Neil Sullivan.
And the Dazzler of Talk Sport, Alan Brazil.
Not sure how we would feel about that, but Alan Brazil, yes, we'll get the rest of the answers. And if you fancy it, more of your calls next.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas
with J&D Pearce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pearce.
Right, if you've not done it yet, you really, really should, because we are just 6 days away from one of the biggest games of the season and you could be there, and all you need to do is take part in our raffle. We're not just talking about getting to Hampden, we're talking about VIP, silver, debenture tickets with lounge access in the main stand. If you are a Celtic fan, text Celtic to 84901, or a Rangers fan, Rangers to 84901 before 8pm Thursday the 12th of December. So just a couple of days to go now. What that does, that costs one standard network rate message to send the text. It then donates £10 to Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. Children right here, right in our communities, right on our doorsteps that need your help. So £10, every penny of that to them, and then you're in the raffle for the tickets. Over 18s only. T's and C's are all on the Cash for Kids page at Clyde1.com. But what an opportunity that is. A tenner to charity, you've done your bit, and you might end up at the game with proper good seats as well. So text Celtic to 84901 or Rangers to 84901. Good luck.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are here. I feel like Andy Halliday, he gives us his attention, but you can just tell he's desperate to get up the road and watch Christmas films.
Yeah,
no, in December, no, can't you?
To be completely honest with you, I'm really gutted that I don't know anything of this teaser.
You missed last Monday. You weren't on the show. Big Brian was on the show last Monday. I went up the road last Monday night, and Mrs. Hanna had Elf ready to play.
Oh.
So we watched Elf last Monday night.
Different class.
Second of December. A bit early for me, I have no to chance. Say. But okay, whatever. Right, on this teaser, we're looking for the... Is it 11? I've even lost track myself. 11 Scottish players have been at Tottenham since 1983. Can you name them? We've got not a bad list. What have you come up with so far? Remind me.
Hutton, Gough, Jury, Sullivan, Calderwood, Brazil, and Stevie Ferguson from East Fife.
That's seven anymore.
What about Ali Dick?
He's not on Jamie's list. You just blame Jamie.
Okay. Ian Gozine, son of Alan.
Well, we kind of a bit of a stewards on that one, because I don't think he played the first team game.
Right, okay.
But he was kind of there. So
came up and played for Dundee United.
I took him out just for that purpose. His Wikipedia could be wrong, but there we go. Struggling a bit. Here's a really difficult one. The most difficult one's the most recent.
Oh, so I could get that.
But it's proper difficult because it's difficult for a number of ways. He has represented Scotland at youth team level, this guy.
Okay.
Right up to 21s. He might even have made it into to main squads. I'd need to check. Maybe made it into the odd one. Again, it just not a really well-known club career at all. By the way, he even had a brief spell at Motherwell,
and he signed
a brief but forgettable.
Had a spell at Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, recent.
Oh, John Hendry.
Well, he's on there, but no, I'm talking way more recent than that. This is just a really, because he's one. I think he's one of these Scottish from grandparent rule type thing as well.
And he was at Motherwell, and he was at Tottenham. John Hendry was at Motherwell, wasn't he? Brief spell up top.
John Hendry's there. Right, I'll give you some time. You can get back to 01419511025. Where else do you want to start from the weekend? We always try and round off all the talking points, but it's tough. You were at...
I was at Tannadice. 95th minute penalty.
Come on then,
equaliser for Kelly.
We love a refereeing Barney on a Monday. Penalty or not?
Jim Goodwin's a listener on the show, is that right?
The famous Scotsman, Jim Goodwin, yeah.
Yeah,
hear about this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Unhappy with media coverage of the two penalties they got the previous week.
Oh, so it's the media's fault that Kelly got a penalty this week?
Yeah, I think that's more or less what he was
saying.
Yeah.
Who knew Hugh Keevans was so influential?
Indeed. It's a penalty. It's as soft a penalty as you will see this season, but it's a penalty.
All right, okay. But it is a penalty.
Well, I mean, he's at the risk of over-egging this, he's brushed the end of his toe his toe.
So is that a penalty then?
Well, technically, yes, it is.
Is it?
Because Bobby Wales has nipped, got the ball first, and Richard O'Dada has got Bobby Wales. But it's as soft as... You won't see a softer penalty this season.
Ooh, I disagree with that.
Yeah, I disagree with that as well. I can find you softer.
Well, softer would be the ones that aren't penalties that are given. So I don't know where you're coming from here. Is it a penalty for you?
Yes. I don't even think it's as soft as Rogers making out. Just think if you're taking a ginormous swing at the ball and not making any contact and making contact with an opposition, but you must feel that you've gave away a penalty.
Mm. How important was it for Kelly?
Because it was huge. But listen, I'd seen Kelly three times in a week for Super Scoreboard. 1-1 at home to Dundee, probably fair enough. 6-0 at Ibrox, the most un-Derek McInnes-like performance you will ever see from a Derek McInnes team. They needed to go up there and at worst get a 0-0. Then they lose the goal when Kieran O'Hara pushes it back out to Sam Dalby. There needed to be some response. Derek threw everything at it. It was empty in the bench every 2 minutes. And a couple of subs, Kyle McGuinness was involved, Bobby Wills was involved. They got a penalty. And tell you something, it might be the softest penalty of the season. You won't see a better struck penalty this season than Bruce Anderson.
Looked like a good game. Heartful of chances for both teams.
I think compared to St Mirren Motherwell, it probably was. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, you're not going to get worse than that.
Okay, so important point then for Kilmarnock. Let's talk Lauren Shanklin, because we did it in glowing positive terms every week last season. It's been the opposite this season, on a personal level, because you know how pleasing was it to see him sort of get back in amongst the goals.
Yeah, definitely. You know, he spoke during the week last week how Cercle Bruges missing that penalty is one of the lowest he's felt in his career. I think he could obviously see and sense the frustration in the stands and the sort of aftermath of what that penalty brought. You know, if you've not scored a goal in 11 games, first goal in 12 games, there's going to be a lot of pressure on any striker, even more so when you're a striker that scored 30 goals for the last two seasons. But like, people, you know, tend to forget that he started last season not too great in terms of the goal standings. Mm-hmm. His record wasn't quite, you know, 1-12 or 2-12, obviously, for scoring the double at the weekend. But he had that little barren spell at the start of the year, really hit form. And you always feel like Shanks is that sort of goal scorer that scores goals in bunches. When he scores one, you know, he seems to go on these runs that obviously keeps him up that goal scoring table. And like I said, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he finished the top goal scorer this year.
Always prefer to be on the side of fans and acknowledge that they can pay their money and up to a point do what they like, Roger, and let guys like Andy stick up for the players. However, when you see Lauren Shanklin missing the penalty in Europe and then having to get chance of Lauren Shanklin get to, you know, like, That never really makes sense for me. That, like, I think you can be angry as a fan, you can be frustrated and all that stuff, but it felt like a line was crossed with that.
A line definitely was crossed. I know a number of Hearts players were incensed by the conduct of certain Hearts supporters on that trip to Bruges. They overstepped a line, not just in the abuse, but the fact who the abuse was being directed at and what he has brought to Hearts in the last few years. I hope the people who were abusing Lauren Shanklin have thought long and hard about it and realised they were out of order and they had overstepped the line. And better than celebrating when he scored twice at the weekend.
Mm. Well, listen, these fans probably don't get that trip to Bruges if it's not for Lauren Shanklin's and his exploits last year.
No,
the amount of goals he scored.
Definitely don't.
Fair chance we get a trip to Hamilton and Morton.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Anything else that you want to tidy up from the weekend you think we've not covered off?
Aberdeen.
Yeah.
3 points from 18,
just,
is it now?
You just know that Hugh Keevans is all over the bubbles burst, wheels have come off type stuff. Would you agree with your learned colleague?
The truth, as ever, Gordon, is probably somewhere in the middle. I think they were overachieving at the start. They're now probably underachieving. 3 points from 18 is underachieving from Aberdeen. But if you'd said to them, when Jimmy Tillin came into the building, you're going to be second in the 9th of December. I think they'd have taken it.
They do seem to be a team that really suits that sort of counter-attacking style of football, and I think in the fixtures they've had, they've not really had that opportunity to go and counter-attack teams. It's more, you know, you come and try and break us down. What I will say is, you know, Jimmy Tillin, I think he's made some really brave decisions since he's been the manager. He's not afraid to make subs early. We've seen that at Celtic Park with 3 half-time subs at the weekend. But the decision to make so many changes going into the game, I wonder if he regrets that, because, you know,
somebody said to me at the weekend, he only puts the subs on because he gets the wrong team to start with.
Exactly. Yeah. I think when I seen the lineup, I was really surprised.
Okay, 4 to get in the teaser. Scotsmen that have played for Spurs the last 11, you've got Alan Hutton, Richard Goff, Stevie Ferguson, Gordon Dewey, Colin Calderwood, Neil Sullivan, Alan Brazil.
Who's this Motherwell?
Time for a clue, Gordon.
What era was the Motherwell guy?
About a few years ago. He's a goalkeeper. He's a goalie and he's got 1 Scotland cap.
Scott Howie?
No, much more recent. This is the recent one.
1 Scotland
cap. Oh, no, can't be.
Who?
Darren Routledge.
No, Irish.
Try and who else was in that?
Jordan Archer. I'm going to need to just run through the others. I think Martin McIntosh.
Never heard him.
Is that you got them all?
That Maca?
Archer, Hutton, Sullivan, Ferguson, Calderwood, Jury, John Henry, Martin McIntosh. Oh yeah, actually Graham Marshall sent this one in. Gary Brady.
Come on.
That was tough tonight, Locked I have to indeed. Say. Sorry Andy, they were tough. Better next week. Let's see how we get on. Thank you very much, Roger and Andy. Thanks for all your calls, your tweets, for those who just listen, for those who call in the bath, to those who call for the first time. We had a bit of everything tonight, and we're back tomorrow on a huge night for Celtic. Champions League game away against Dinamo Zagreb. We'll take you through it, we'll get your reaction as well, and continue the build up to a big weekend of European and domestic football. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Monday.